Our scripture reading is Revelation chapter 5 today. I trust you'll follow along as we come to this window into heavenly things. And the focus is upon the Lamb. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book, and on the back side sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book, and to loose the seven seals thereof." And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book, and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood, out of every kindred, and tongue, and people, and nation. And hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." And I beheld, and I heard the voice about the throne, and the beast, and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, and riches, and wisdom, and strength, and honor, and glory, and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven, and on the earth, and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing, and honor, and glory, and power, be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb, forever and ever." And the four beasts said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. Amen. May the Lord bless this reading of his word to your heart today. We're turning to the book of Revelation, which, as the book is called, is an insight to the person of the Lord Jesus. It's a revelation of the Lord Jesus. Our text today is chapter 5 and the verse 6. We're going to be looking at the Lamb as it had been slain. Verse 6 of chapter 5. In the midst of the elders stood a Lamb as it had been slain. It is remarkable that in this final book of the Revelation, there are many, many things that are spoken of in the Old Testament. There are things that you will find in the tabernacle or in the temple. You have references to the altar, to the sacrifice, and of course the Lamb is the sacrifice. Great emphasis is upon the Lamb. The Lamb's name is repeated over and over and over again. Now, it is important that we don't run away with our imagination and think of our Redeemer as a literal lamb with horns and wool and four legs and a tail. That would be a wrong concept to conjure in your mind to worship the Lord Jesus. This is symbolic. And as in the Old Testament they did have a sacrifice of a literal lamb, and our Lord Jesus, as this text tells us in John 1:29, He is the Lamb of God in the sense that He is the fulfillment of every sacrifice, every lamb that was offered in the Old Testament tabernacle temple sacrifice. Jesus is God's Lamb. But He is a person. And if you look at verse 7 in Revelation 5, you'll notice the personal pronoun is given. And he. It is a person. And our Lord Jesus is a man in the glory. He is a man with human body. He has no horns. He has no wool. He has no characteristics of a sheep. But He is in His work of redemption to us, our Lamb. He is our sacrifice, our Redeemer. Now, saying that all of heaven breaks out into a great crescendo to speak and to sing of the worth of this Lamb. And they sung a new song saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Thou art worthy. Now this is the real reason for all worship in a Christian church. What is now happening in the glory, the song, the lyrics, the wording of their song in heaven ought to be the meditation of our hearts here on earth as we would approach to worship our Lamb, our Redeemer. And His worth becomes our worship. Indeed, in the English language, those two words are so linked together that you cannot have worship unless you understand His worthiness. Worship can only be based on the worth of the Redeemer. That makes us to understand that you cannot worship what the world calls today the casual Jesus. The Jesus that just walks along the street. The Jesus who is just the nomadic person. No, He is the man of glory. He is the one who is all worthy. And we have this great sight and scene in this book, how He is to be worshipped on the basis. I think we might have here a key to something of the apathy that fills or fails to fill many hearts when it comes to worship. Worship that has to be substituted by the gimmickry and the things of the world and other ideas and concepts, because the worthiness of Christ and His person and work is not appreciated. Makes us to realize that we'll never really be a worshiper until we fully appreciate the worth of the Lamb. It's my task here today, as we would come to this communion table, as you as a Christian may come to participate in this table, to set before you the worth of the Lamb. He is worthy. I want to do this very simply. There are four letters in the word Lamb. L are for He is the Lion Lamb. We're going to look at that. A, He is the Atoning Lamb. M, He is the Ministered Lamb. We find all of heaven ministering to him. And we'll also see that he is the book opening lamb. It's very simple. But if we grasp who this lamb is and his worth, then we will be better prepared worshipers. And we may worship him aright. So let's look at chapter 5 and verse 5. Is the lamb who is worthy because lion lamb. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, behold the lion of the tribe of Judah. What a scene from that which is so commonly drawn from the minds of men. What a contrast from the minds of men who deal with this casual idea of Jesus. Here he is a lion. Here he has authority. He has power. He has glory and might and omnipotence. He's the lion of the tribe of Judah. And he prevails. If you ever get a chance to listen on sermon audio to the sermon by Jonathan Edwards, it's on the glories of Christ. And Jonathan Edwards contrasts the double characteristic of Christ depicted as a lamb. That's his meekness. That's his gentleness. There you have the attributes of one who befriends the sinner, who is the meek, the gentle, the lowly lamb of God for sinners. But in that same person, the same Jesus, you have the attributes of the lion. He is the glorious person, the one who has authority, just as the lion in the jungle, whose roar has the authority of the jungle. He is not one to be tampered with or to be fooled with. And in that one person, the Son of God, and in the Son of Mary, God and man in one person, you have both attributes of meekness, lowliness, glory, authority, and power. And here you have the worth, the wonder of this lion lamb as he reigns. Now you'll notice in this book of Revelation that he is associated with a throne. Back in chapter 4 and verse 2, you'll notice this. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Now it's a very interesting concept that you'll never see the throne and the Redeemer separated. In the book of Revelation, they go together. The throne and the Lamb go together. The throne and the King go together. He sits upon his throne. Chapter 5, 1. You'll notice that again. And I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne. You'll see him and you'll see the throne. They go together. And in verse 6 again. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb. So here you have this lion lamb to reign from his throne. What a scene. What a wonder. What worth is attributed to the Son of God. He's also the reward and the comfort of the saints, linked with his power and his mercy and his love to his church. And you'll notice that all those that are associated with him, they conquer, they are blessed, they are overcomers, they triumph. And as Paul says, if we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. This is the reward and the comfort of the saints. A lion lamb to defeat all his and our enemies. In chapter 6:16, you'll notice this reference to the lamb. But it's not the meekness of the lamb. And certainly to his enemies, he's not a meek lamb. He said to the mountains, rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. The wrath of the Lamb. And so we find that this one who sits on the throne to reign, to comfort, to reward his people, to all his enemies, he ministers wrath. He ministers judgment. He is a terror because he is a lion lamb. Which is he to you today? If you are a believer and he's reigning in your heart, one day you'll reign with him. He's a lamb to you. But if you are an enemy, if you are a rejecter of the Son of God, if you despise his reign, if you despise his law, if you despise his rule in your life and in your heart, and you say no to the Son of God in your soul, then he will be a lion, and you will face his wrath. It will be an eternity of wrath rather than of reigning with him. Which is it in your life and in your heart? This lion lamb is to be received and to be accepted on the terms of grace. Let's look at this lamb, for he is the atoning lamb. That's the A of the lamb. And in chapter 5, 6, you'll notice that he is a lamb as it had been slain. As it had been slain. Now this lamb is obviously the sacrifice of all sacrifices. He's the fulfillment of all the offerings and all the sacrifices of the Old Testament and of the cross itself. And God wants you to know here the necessity of the blood. A lamb as it had been slain. Here is the fresh scene of the blood of the Lord Jesus. You'll notice that his blood never coagulates. It never corrupts. It never loses its fresh power. The lamb is always as if he had just been slain. And in verse 9, you'll see that the song they sing a new song saying, thou art worthy to take the book, redeemed to God by thy blood. In heaven, they sing about the blood. Wouldn't it be a sad thing if we had a hymnal today and there was nothing of the blood in it? Wouldn't it be a tragedy if from cover to cover there was a whole lot of men's lyrics and men's imaginative wordings and there was no mention, no emphasis on the blood of Jesus? What are we to sing on about as we come to worship the atoning lamb? Hymnal that is filled with references to the blood of Jesus. And if you are saying, but I don't understand this need for a reference to blood when I come to sing unto God and when I come to worship God, I would rather have pretty hymns about flowers and birds and bees. I would rather have hymns that I could sing to my wife or to my husband. I would rather have words that are beautiful in an earthly sense. Let me tell you, you're a stranger to God. Because God is to be worshipped and honored on the basis of a sacrifice, on the basis of a lamb, as it had been slain, God's own Son. And that's the song that we ought to be singing and we ought to be bringing to the Lord. Now, I want you to notice that this is the book of Revelation. This is the final book in the Bible. Don't tell me that the gospel of the New Testament is different from the Old Testament. Don't tell me that in the Old Testament that you have those thoughts and ways of worshiping God, but in the New it's different. No, here is the final book of God's Word. And you have this emphasis here. Indeed, as we're allowed to look into heaven and we see the very angels and the creatures of heaven worshiping the Lord, they're focusing on the blood. They're singing about the blood. What is your song? What is your song unto the Lord? Here is the emphasis that you must make. Now, the blood is still necessary in heaven, and the blood is still necessary for you without the shedding of blood. And so here is the atoning blood, the atoning and the emphasis on the Lamb that is slain. He's also worthy because in heaven he is the ministered Lamb. In verse 8 through 13, you'll notice that there are four groupings around the throne, and they're all singing and ministering to the Lamb. Verse 8, let's just read it, and we'll go down the verses here, and we'll pick up on these four groupings. Verse 8, you have the inner circle. They are called the four beasts. Don't be scared off by four beasts, thinking that you're at the zoo, and it's some wild, obnoxious creature. The word beasts, in the year 1611, when the authorized version was produced, were simply creatures. Living creatures. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts, that means four living creatures. They're described in other places in the Bible. They have the face of a man, the face of an ox, the face of a calf, and the face of an eagle. That's the description that they're given. First given in the book of Ezekiel, otherwise described here in the book of Revelation. So don't look upon them as some wild, abhorrent, obnoxious beasts. But they are living creatures, and they're in the inner circle. And they're gathered around the throne and gathered around the Lamb. And they're ministering. They're ministering. And if you look at chapter 4, verse 8, notice the intensity of them. And the four beasts had each of them six, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night. Ah, there's intensity. They rest not day and night, saying, holy, holy, holy. I hope you sang the opening hymn here today with all your heart and all the intensity of these four living creatures. I wonder if they were listening in to Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church this morning, and they were saying, those poor Christians, they profess the name of Jesus. They open their hymnal to number 3. They sing, holy, holy, holy. But oh, where's the intensity? Where's the thrill in their hearts? I tell you, in heaven there's an intensity of praise. There is an entering into worshiping the Lamb. That it's, well, we are but a poor reflection of it here. And we ought to expand our efforts and to train ourselves that we may sing with all our might. Now, you'll notice in chapter 5, 8, that after the four beasts, there are the 24 elders. And they fall down before the Lamb. They fall down. These are not proud elders. These are not elders going around like Pharisees, strutting their importance and self glory and honor. They fall down before the Lamb. And it's obvious that every one of them give their honor, their worship, and their prayers right unto the Lord. The third group is in verse 11. And these are the many angels. Heard the voice of many angels. Many angels. You couldn't count them. Round about the throne and the beasts and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000. And thousands of thousands. What a scene. What a scene. What an assembly of and glory. Of the angels as they gather to worship the Lord. And then, of course, the content of their song, verse 12. Hard to match. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. They worship Him on the basis of His worth. And then in verse 13, you have the crescendo of all crescendos, every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Now, time-wise, you'd have to say that that has to be future. We couldn't say that right now that every creature in God's creation is presently worshiping the Lord. No, there are many today and they're on the golf course. There are many today and they're in the places of work and in the garden and doing other things. They may be at the racetrack or the gambling casino today. There are men in wicked places with no thought of God. Creatures in the sea and under the sea, we can't say that they presently are worshiping God, but there's coming a day when every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. And that lot in Ottawa who this week voted against the Word of God and voted against the institution that God has ordained of biblical marriage, a biblical definition of marriage, will bow the knee to God and give account to God. Now, whether they will worship Him with hearts to understand His worth, that will take a miracle of regeneration. Only the regenerate heart will understand the worth of the Lord. The soul in hell is unrepentant. In Revelation 16, you read of those that are gnashing their teeth and they're unrepentant and they're cursing and blaspheming God. They're still rebels to God. I wonder what's the state of your heart today. Have you surrendered your heart to the Lord as worthy of your worship? That's the reason why you should give up yourself. That's why you should throw down your own arms of rebellion, your own little self motives, your own selfish desires and schemes, and come and lay all at the feet of Jesus, because He is worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy of your life. He's worthy of your honor. He's worthy of your soul. He's worthy of your all. And until you do, you're not a worshiper, but rather you are under it. One last thought here, and that is, He's the book opening Lamb. And this book that is mentioned in chapter 5 and the verse 6 here. And lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood as a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes. Sorry, the verse 5, going back a verse, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. We can say this for the interest of the saints are in this book. John's hope was in this book. You'll notice in verse 4 that he wept much because no man was found worthy to open the book. This is the book wherein the hope of believers rest. It's the hope of the Lord's church. And certainly the devil wasn't going to open the book. And man wasn't going to open the book. And here comes the Mighty One. And He opens the book. And He breaks the seals. And He declares the purposes of God's great grace. And He carries out the plan of God's saving purposes to the world. How can He do this? How can He do this? Because He is the Lamb slain. He's the slain lamb. The book opening lamb is the slain lamb. Something happened at Calvary where our Lord Jesus died, that He opens the book to those that believe, to the elect of God, to the call, the scheme of God's grace, and He fulfills the purposes of God's redemption to sinners. Oh, today you need to see the power and to believe and trust in that very finished work of the cross at Calvary. Has this been a revelation to you today? Have your eyes been opened to what our Lord Jesus has accomplished and will accomplish? Have you seen the Lord as never before? This is what it is to believe. This is what faith is. To trust in the Lion Lamb, in the Atoning Lamb, and to see and to worship on the basis of the blood, and to know that the book has been opened by the Lamb, and your trust will be in Him. Faith is not a nebulous feeling of some fanciful life of a man called Jesus. That's not faith. Faith is in the work of the Redeemer. Faith is in the accomplishments of the Son of God. And you need the Lord Jesus that is revealed here in this word. And if you've had this revealed to you today, if you've come to see here through this word the way of the blood, the way of the cross, the way of the Lord Jesus, the way to the Father, then come believing. Come as a sinner to Jesus. Come with all your heart and trust in the accomplishments of the Son of God and in the Lamb of God. Make Him your Lamb today. That He's not just a Lamb, but He's your Lamb. He must be your Lamb that you might be a Christian, saved, redeemed, and sure of heaven. May the Lord draw you and call you and save you and bless you today with that saving knowledge of faith in Himself.